We're living in a crisis, and the world and the church is actually divided into two parts. Some people are crying, emergency, get ready, while others are crying, peace and safety. Today will be as tomorrow, tomorrow will be as today. There's no work of preparation. Well, today, by God's grace, I'm here with my special guest to sound the alarm that there is a crisis in our midst. And just as inspiration says, we are not mere alarmists, but the events which are transpiring are indeed alarming. Today, we'll have three or four segments. Number one, I'm going to give a brief introduction and set the table so we can all feast spiritually from this table. Secondly, I'm going to introduce and bring in my special guest. In the third segment, I'm going to give some closing remarks. And in the fourth, by God's grace, if you have questions for myself or for my special guest, you may at that time call in or put that question in the chat at the appointed time. Well, friends, let's get right into it. Today, I'm going to be addressing that we're now living in a time when a great concentration camp is being built. This is a digital concentration camp. And by God's grace, we need to warn the people because these things were prophesied. Not only are we to diagnose the sickness, but we must also give the remedies. Not only are we to point to the crisis, but what are the solutions? And today I'm going to emphasize again the five keys of survival. And my special guest is going to be addressing country living. Too many people are finding all these excuses. And by God's grace, we want to give answers that are applicable and relatable for God's people. Emergency. John Kerry warns, U.S. is on the brink of declaring a climate emergency. And to understand that climate emergency and what the mandates are going to be, we are to look at the mandates, the draconian policies that were rolled out during the pestilence 19 pandemic. And remember this, whenever there is a so-called declaration of emergency, it simply means that your liberties are going to be suspended. And that took place March 11, 2020. And the public health emergency came to an end May 11, 2023. And now we have John Kerry now stating, it's time to declare a climate emergency so we know exactly what is coming. I'm going to encourage you, as we did this past Sabbath, to put on a sheet of paper with a writing instrument. Text yourself the various draconian mandates that were rolled out during the global public health emergency. Why? Because when they declare the climate emergency, similar policies, let me fix that, worse policies, tyrannical policies, which are inimical to our religious and civil liberties are going to be rolled out. Here he is on record. Get people to behave, change their behavior. John Kerry.
So I think personally, we're on the brink of needing to declare a climate emergency, which is what we really have. And we need to get people to behave as if this really is a major transitional challenge to the whole planet, to everybody.
It is coming. It is coming. And friends, here is what I want everyone to see. This is Tedros. Hear what he says.
To lower the level of alarm. Yesterday, the emergency committee met for the 15th time and recommended to me that I declare an end to the public health emergency of international concern. No, I have accepted that advice. It's therefore with great hope that I declare COVID-19 over as a global health emergency.
Now, Fred, how long was that crisis, the public health emergency, when our rights were repudiated, suspended?
1,221 days ago, WHO learned of a cluster of cases of pneumonia of unknown cause in Wuhan, China.
So we're talking about 3.5 years approximately. Here's my question to everybody right now. What if we only have 3.5 years left? How would you live today? What would you do differently as it relates to spiritual and practical preparation? What if you only had 3.5 years left? Would you be found getting ready, implementing the 5 keys of survival? Key number 1, conversion. Key number 2, country living. Key number 3, having food, water, resources on your property. If you only had 3.5 years left, what would you do? Do you think it's accidental? The public health emergency was for approximately 3.5 years. Take a look at this. Do you know that when Jesus said in Luke 21, verse 22, verse 23, when you shall see Jerusalem surrounded with armies, know the desolation thereof is nigh. If you're in the city, flee to the mountains. Do you know God sent a warning sign? That warning sign was the Roman leader of the army, Cestius, descended upon Jerusalem and set a siege around Jerusalem, but providentially retracted that siege and returned to Rome. What date did he come down to Jerusalem? July 66 AD. He retreated providentially. And those Christians who saw that, they remembered Luke 21. And they fled the city into the mountains. But there were professed Christians, professed Jews that remained in the city of Jerusalem. And what happened? 3.5 years later, approximately, Titus descended, surrounded Jerusalem. And what happened, friends? It was destroyed. And all those people, before they died and perished and died lost, we're told they starved to death. Many ate their children just for food. Take a look at this. That's it, friends. Titus came down April of the year 70 AD. That's approximately 3.5 years. Did God give us the warning sign in the pandemic? 3.5 years approximately. And now they are declaring a climate emergency. Don't you say this new administration would change things? Because in the third block today, I'm going to share with you, this incoming administration is also on the path to implement the policies to bring about a digital-only society. Wait, what would you call that? A digital concentration camp.
So I think personally we're on the brink of needing to declare a climate emergency, which is what we really have. And we need to get people to behave as if this really is a major transitional challenge to the whole planet.
You're being surrounded. And there are your statements in the book, Great Controversy, the first chapter, the destruction of Jerusalem. That is being tyrannical. Will force you how to behave. And one of those policies is going to be to rest on Sunday based on prophecy, history, and current events. Am I ready? Are you ready? And when you are surrounded, as Jerusalem was, nobody could leave, nobody could enter. You could not buy, you could not sell. You became government dependent, a pauper. It's coming. Again, I ask the question, what if you only had 3.5 years? What would you do differently today? And that's why inspiration says, as a matter of fact, preacher, roll these paragraphs on the screen for those who want to pause the video and want to mentally consume these paragraphs and allow me to move on to bring in my special guest shortly here, they can pause the video and read that. And that's why we're told it's time to move out into the country. Grow your own provisions. And then we're told a time is going to come that those who could move but refused, like Lot's wife, when they are awakened and now they want to get out, it's going to be too late. That's one group. Another group, they want to move out, but they are mentally paralyzed. They have all these excuses. They're like doubting Thomas. And that's why today, my special guest is Kevin Fuller. He's back. He's back. Kevin, talk to us. Let's get right into it. No pleasantries, no intro. Get right into it. Today, our topic is creating a way to and making a living in the country. Preparing a way, creating a way to move into the country and making a living while we are in the country. Creative income opportunities in rural areas. How do I get started and where do I go to get help and services? Kevin Fuller, welcome.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Thanks for having me back so soon. Well, first, you asked a question on last week that I didn't answer. The answer for that today is you wanted to know what was going on through my chain, my people that we're getting our information from. Well, what happened not long ago is that I had a service member in Hawaii. They immediately got a call that they had to get on the ship and beat feet to Alaska, where Russia and China was doing mass drilling, mass training right above us. We already know that Russia's in Cuba. They had ships, submarines, everything, and they're training. They're training for a reason, and they're training right above us. Not only that, even today, as we see that Taiwan, the president of Taiwan flew to Hawaii, but he had to be escorted by all of his military jets. China is threatening immediate takeover of Taiwan, which puts us at war from that angle. We have to get about moving. God has warned us time and time again. So what I'm going to show you all is not only, we hear people say all the time that what I can't do, and that comes up with people complaining all the time about what they can do. I'm going to show you some ways that God has allowed for us to be able to do those things. So excuses, I have no money. I don't know how to move or get ready. I have no help, but I just can't do it. I'm too old or I'm by myself. We hear all that all the time. So stop making excuses, because what we're going to bring to you today through grace of God is a way that you can do these things. The first thing, planning is essential. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Okay, so actionable steps for planning your move to the country is a PDF that we put together. It is available online, but you're getting it right here. It's going to show you step by step things you need to do immediately so that you can get going. So you don't give me an excuse. Don't talk about I don't have a penny, because we're not going to use a penny. We're going to use what you have to make things happen so you can get where you're going. So self-assessment and goal setting. Look at yourself. See who you are. See what's holding you back. Is it your husband? Is it your wife? Is it your children? Is it the house? What's holding you back? Those things you're going to need to break and tear loose. Set your goals for this move to get ready to leave the city and get to the country. Financial planning and budgeting. Start by seeing what your worth is. What's your house worth? Or what's your apartment? Whatever. Condo. What's it worth? What things you have you can get rid of? And start shedding those things. You can create some income by just getting rid of things that you simply do not need. Look around, get rid of them. There's stores that buy even your old clothes, your old boat, things you have that you need to get rid of. Turn them loose. Start to build up some cash. Stop buying things that you normally buy. Cut out some of the TVs, the Netflix and all of that. Eliminate a lot of that and start to increase your income. Okay. Research and planning. Know where you're going. Know where you desire to go. And I always tell people, have even three places, three locations in mind in case one don't pan out. But start to match up with people to research the areas, know the conditions and things, all you know, things like that, what you're looking for. So finding and purchasing in property is very easy by using some of the realtor.com apps or some other apps. I'm going to give you some like auction.com. I'm actually giving you apps. I'm going to give you things today that you can use without having to pay anyone for these things. Auction.com, and just punch in the state or county that you're in, and you can actually bid on properties, and you do not need to sign up or spend any money for that. Auction.com, and you can start purchasing. And there's tons of things that we can do. So preparing now for the move. So you know you have to move. You have to get going, get these things all laid out. You're going to start to look at what do I need to do? Do I need to box this up? Do I need a professional moving company, family or friends? Who else do I want to know about where I'm going, or who do I want to take with me? Are the kids going? Do we need that much space? All these things you can take a look at, okay? So now, setting up the new home. Once you move, you get out to that new home, only take and set up the necessities. Less is better. Less is more. Because you're going to need be in a tighter space. You won't be looking for that luxurious country mansion. Don't look for it. Less is better. So when you get out there, it's going to be about being able to work the land and live great. If it's cold, consider the weather, consider the conditions, all those things. Preparing for the weather, preparing with wood and all that. I always say the Bible says, consider the ant. The ant gets busy. So embrace the rural lifestyle. I'm going kind of fast, but I want you guys to grasp this. This would be available for you to slow down or rewind. But embrace the rural lifestyle. That's now your new living area. That's where you're going to live. It's going to be quieter. It's going to be more exciting if you have a mind to make things happen. You're going to experience all new sounds and settings and surroundings. But embrace those things. Take a look at them. Get to know your area. Okay. And then have long-term planning for sustainability. Make sure you set things up so that you know you'll be there for a while. I talked about the winter. Make sure you have stacks and stacks and stacks of firewood. Make sure you have alternative heat sources, electric heaters, solar panels. Even one of the things with solar electricity, at some point, those batteries have to be replaced. If we can't get back to the city, you must have alternatives for heating. Okay. And then building a support network. You're deciding to go to the country, to a rural area, and you know there's other spaces available, much land available. Talk to some of your brothers and sisters, cousins, nieces, uncles, nephews, and also instruct them on how to buy property around you so that you can build up a great support network. We're SDA. We love building up a beautiful SDA network so that we can just get out there and be a help for each other. So with self-assessments and goals, evaluate your resources, like I said, and set clear goals. Nothing that's impossible for you to do. The space you have for fear, that's less space for faith. So let's just get busy about moving. So we want to do that. So self-assessment, find out what's holding you back, and let's jump all on that. Financial planning and budgeting, we talked about that. If you're working a typical 9-to-5, still take a real look at your finances and see what's happening there. But when you get ready to go to the country, I'm going to show you other resources that you can be self-sustaining in the country. But prior to that, how do our secure funding for what I'm getting ready to do. When you look at number two on the financial planning guide for budgeting, it's going to tell you tons of resources. Look at the bank, look at a loan. If you put together a good enough little business proposal or business plan, and YouTube, I'm going to talk a lot about that, is so friendly to you that we're sleeping YouTube. YouTube has instructional videos for everything that I'm going to list. You don't have to pay anyone to walk you through this, unless there you have hassles and all that kind of fun stuff, you know, things you just simply can't do. But YouTube has instructional videos to walk you through this budgeting and financing, how to set up a business plan. This business plan can be just for moving, or it can be something constructive to construct a business. So for moving, if you present good enough business plan and you say you don't have the finance, present it to a family member. Listen, this is what I'm looking to do in the rural area. Some of your family members that may not be following the faith can still assist you financially in helping you move and achieve those goals. Because if you move and you set up, say, a home-based business, then they know they can reap a profit from it. But not only that, you're going to pique their interest about also getting out of the city. So securing funding, home loans, mortgage, equity in your home, selling produce or product, all those things are key. I said research and planning earlier. Choose the right location. Understand the local laws and regulations in the area that you're going, as it applies to building structures. You can get instruction from YouTube on how to build a roof cellar, how to build a shed, how to build a storm shelter, how to build a barn, one man building a house. Type it in on YouTube and you'll see all these things. I always tell people this, there's what's something called a YouTube downloader, and you can get yourself an external hard drive. Download all those videos that can help you make decisions. In the event you don't have the internet or something to watch them, you can watch them later. They'll help you construct gardens and barns and sheds and laws and contracts and agreements and forms. They help you do planning and set up for your own at-home business. YouTube is loaded with thousands of home-based businesses that you can do in the country. And a little bit, I'm going to give you some of those. Okay, funding and purchasing the property, search for properties, inspect and evaluate the properties, and then make an offer and then finalize the purchase. If someone's listing a house for $100,000, that doesn't mean you're going to pay $100,000 for it. Put them an offer in, $75,000. Meet somewhere in the middle. Save a little money. Use that money you save to do something else. Consider a property that has a well already. Consider a property that has the septic tank already. But if you just happen to get the perfect piece of blank land, then we'll have other resources that can help you get those tanks, get the septic in, get the sewer in, and get the well in, and the things you need. There is help available for that, that you can hire someone to do it, or you can do it yourself. Again, YouTube. Start any questions, any ideas you have. YouTube it first. There's a microphone on YouTube. There's a microphone on Google. Click it on your browser and say, how do I put in a well? How do I build a shed? How does one person build a walkway? And YouTube will answer your questions. Okay, so let's not hesitate. It's there for a reason. Preparing the move, plan the logistics, downsize the declutter. We talked about that. Notify the relative parties, your post office, everything that you let the electric company know, the gas company know, disconnect, I'm moving, I'm gone, get all that straight. All the mail you got coming in, you can have it routed to a P.O. box in the country or your new address. So get all those things squared away, let people know that you won't be there. Now, when you set up your new home, move in, establish a routine. What do I do every day? Well, you gather that firewood in the morning. You go out and you take care of whatever you got. If you got horses or whatever you're raising, some people even raise animals. We don't eat meat. We don't condone eating meat. Some people raise animals. And so prepare whatever you do in the day and for the evening, for the night to make it through. But establish a routine. If you're planting a garden, sowing seeds, walking the land, getting familiar with the community, create a routine, something that's just totally different from what you do in the city. And then, like I said, embrace that real lifestyle. Learn new skills. Adapt to the environment. Focus on your health and well-being. Because believe it or not, now you're going to have a peace of mind. Now you're going to be able to rest. You're going to be able to sleep at night as soon as you get used to the crickets. So it's going to be awesome for you. But embrace that and give God the glory and the thanks that you're able to make that transition. Long-term planning and sustainability. Plan for the future, practical sustainability, okay? How can I create something where I don't need to go back to the city much at all? How can I grow my own food, okay? How can I be self-sustaining? Let's start with heating. I always start with heating because if you got that heat, you feel good about yourself. You can do a lot of things. If you got property with trees on it, fine, leave them there. Start buying and shopping your wood from other places. Always use your land and your trees as the last resource. Start planting fruit trees, things like that, because you're planning for long-term sustainability. Start planting your fruit trees. There are grants available for people that plant fruit trees on their land. There are grants available. Look that up on YouTube. Ask about that. Are there grants available? And they'll take care of you. So start planning for long-term sustainability. Get your wood and things from other sources. Buy some food and things from other sources. Grow spices and herbs. Those will be things that you can't get, you know, in the city because you won't be going back to the city. You don't plan to go back to the city much at all. So start growing things that you'll need for long-term sustainability. And then connect with your neighbors. Seek professional advice. You want to build a support network. Knowing the area, the community, the people, tell them who you are, what you specialize in, what services you can offer. Put that out there and make yourself known in the area, okay? So I wanted to go over those things with you, and I know I'm talking kind of fast, but I think you guys get the gist of where I'm going with this. There is a way we can do this very easily. God has warned us. He has allowed us to do that. When he led the Hebrew Israelites to the sea, he then got them through it, okay? He won't bring you to a mountain you can't get over. So we don't worry about those things. We just do as we're told, and we'd be a lot better people. Okay, so this is what I'm going to show you now is dealing with ways, real quick, I'm just going to go over it. This will also be available for you to see later. Ways to make a living in the country. I'm going to give you just some rough ideas. Farming and agriculture. If you're growing any kind of thing in vegetables and all that kind of fun stuff, make sure you grow it enough for yourself, but more that you could also sell. If you find out you grow great things on your land if pumpkins grow better than tomatoes or vice versa, or squash and watermelons and cucumbers and cantaloupes, what have you. You find out what your specialty is. That's something that you want to grow a lot of and be able to sell and share and barter with others. So start, you know, right there. Look for that to be a long-term financial and sustainable goal for you to make a source of income. Also to put this food up for yourself. Homesteading, self-sufficiency income, all kinds of things that you can do there to just you know, let people know this is you. You'll set the example for your family. You'll set the example for other Christians and other people with how you set things up on your home. You can make money from homesteading, helping other folks out as well. Tourism and hospitality. People want to come to the country for bed and breakfast. You got enough land, you build a couple houses or a couple of more cabins there. Invite people out. At the same time, you get to witness to them. Okay, people pay a lot of money, and I know this firsthand, they pay a lot of money to go to the country where it's completely quiet, to sit in a kayak on right on the side of the river, or to be in a tent, or just to walk some peaceful land and hear stories about bears and lions and all that stuff. So take advantage of that while being able to offer a bedroom to rent. Just think about it, or a cabin to rent, things like that. Freelance remote work, you can do anything. You can help with farming. You can help people with all kinds of other things. You can write papers. You can babysit daycare. It's just unlimited. So I'll have more resources for you. Okay. So there's a lot of things. I can go all the way down where you get into arts and crafts, agricultural work, real estate property management. You can put together a conglomerate with different farmers. Hey, we want to do some farm tours. You head that up. Oh, hey, we got people that's looking to rent a barn, looking to rent a land. I mean, it's unlimited. And if you need help, worst case scenario, we're always available to help you. But a lot of these things you can do to start a business, simply go to YouTube, use the microphone. How do I start my own home-based business? How do I start with $0? How do I do this with $0? And there are actual things there that you can do. So right here. Tourism and hospitality. I jumped over to number 14. Okay. Bed and breakfast. We talked about that. Farm stays. People want to stay on the farm. Camping and glamping. The camping and glamping. People want to camp out on your land. Some of them bring these big fancy tents. They call it glamping. But it's also awesome. An RV park. You got enough land, a place where people can come and park their RV and walk the riverside, fish, whatever they do, all kinds of things people just want to do. They'll come from all over the country. But what that does for you, it creates a source of income, okay, so that you can be self-sustaining in the country so that you don't have to worry about that 9 to 5 you left in the city. As you look here, we got tons of different things, outdoor and adventure businesses, crafts, okay, artisanal goods. Freelance remote work we talked about with business, writing and editing. These are things that you can do. Graphic design, web design, social media. These are things that you can do. But I don't know how to do those. YouTube has full classes that are free. YouTube has full classes that are free for all of these things that I'm giving you that you can do to start a successful business in graphic designs, computer programming, software, anything, hacking, to combat the hackers. Okay, cybersecurity is so key right now. You don't have to be, people never need to see your face. These are classes that are free on YouTube. You download those or you watch them piece at a time, and you can apply for jobs online, submit your resumes, and you're sitting at home on your country property, making yourself $500, $600, $700, $2,000, $3,000 or more per day. YouTube has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of businesses you can do. So use your microphone there on YouTube and tell it what you want to do and what you're looking for. How do I find those properties? It's all there. So resources for, there's a bunch of PDFs, there's a bunch of videos and et cetera, that's available for you to download. And as I said, YouTube is your first choice on how to. Help me have a business, manage the business. How do I grow a farm? How do I sell a farm? How do I do a farmer's market? Do I sell at a farmer's market? Do I start my own? Should I have it on my land? Should I share with others? Ways that you can bring people together. How do I do contracts and agreements? All those things are there. So we have zero excuse. If you have a seed, you can start something growing. If you don't have a seed, see me, because I got plenty of corn from the 1800s. I got about 300 pounds of that left, and I have to get a seed or two to you. But if you can plant a seed, which has already been planted, you can grow something from that, and then you reap what you sow. So get it in your mind that you're all set. God has already blessed you. You're ready to go. Have your confidence up, your faith up, and believe in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, trust God and get moving. So no more excuses about what we can and can't do. So YouTube is a big resource. We have a book just real quick on country living about everything you need. It's everything to include God more than a guidebook. It lists different jobs. It lists different things that we can help you with. And our website has tons of downloadables, a lot of free stuff. Take advantage of this stuff. Take advantage. A lot of free pamphlets, a lot of free things that you can do that you don't need to pay anybody for, that you do not need help with. There's another website, oceanofpdf.com, www.oceanofpdf, oceanofpdf.com. You can type in any subject, anything, and in a PDF booklet you can print out, it does not cost you a dime. So stop saying, I don't have any money. Any ideas that you have on even how to make money or want to, or any ideas you want on how to do something, use Oceans of PDF, type it in, see what comes up. That's a free download, and you can do what you want to do. Last, thereareopeople.org. Look for us online. Look for thereareopeople.org. We've got books online. We got all kinds of things. Ellen G. White has great books to help you with those things. And then start to talk with your family and your neighbors as you make these plans and see if they have the same idea or the same goals. But remember, let's get moving now. We don't have a lot of time. Declutter, as we talked about. Start to declutter the things you have. You won't need them. And you get to start all over. There's a chapter in that book that talks about 50 hand tools. I call them power tools because we're using muscle, our own power, elbow grease. But there's 50 tools that you can use in a country to get a lot of work done. I'm currently taking courses on some of the things the Amish did way back in the day, as they still do today because they don't use electricity. And I'm looking at how they did all kinds of things and they're so creative, you'd be like, wow. But remember, God gave us power, love, and a sound mind. The devil comes to kill and destroy. So we have to walk in who we are, trusting in God that we get these things done. And let's get about our Father's business. Let's just really get about our Father's business, Pastor. You agree?
Kevin, just hold the line.
Sure.
Possibly we have some questions for you from those who are joining us live right now.
Not a problem.
I believe you laid down and laid out a wealth of information, practical information, so people don't have to use the old excuses. No more excuses. Let us get to work. As we do our part, God will do his. And as you rightfully said, we don't have enough time. What if we only had 3.5 years left? How differently would we live today and tomorrow? Because we know what's coming.
So I think personally, we're on the brink of needing to declare a climate emergency, which is what we really have. And we need to get people to behave as if this really is a major transitional challenge to the whole planet, to everybody.
So it's clear what is coming. So as I share this last segment, then afterward, Kevin, I'll see who has some questions for you. How are they going to monitor? How are they going to change people's behavior? We are told that surveillance is coming. Surveillance system, draconian, abusive, intrusive, it is coming. And when I get to Catherine Fitz, she'll actually tell us what we are thinking is coming is already here as it relates to a digital-only society, a concentration camp. It's already here. There it is, friends, to combat climate change, forcing people to eat less flesh foods. How are they going to monitor this? Net zero will force people to change their behavior. And what is their target date? 2030. We're now in 2024. And I believe the crisis may hit before that date. Get ready now. No more excuses. It's all the Pope's agenda. Sunday worship by law is on the horizon. I mean, John Kerry is promoting Laudato Si, the Pope's encyclical, Sunday worship by law. It's all there. The signs of the last days are here. And this is how they are going to monitor to see who is changing their behavior and going along with their intrusive, draconian agenda. These apps on your smartphone, you have to follow their policies, their so-called mandates. I want to give you a clip here. Take a look at this. Very important.
We're developing, through technology, an ability for consumers to measure their own carbon footprint. What does that mean? That's, where are they traveling? How are they traveling? What are they eating? What are they consuming on the platform?
That's it. And then they'll roll out the CBDCs.
By programming CBDC, those money can be precisely targeted for what kind of people can own and what kind of use this money can be utilized, for example, for food.
That's it. And we are heading into a time, Kevin, we have to be able to sustain ourselves when we can't buy or sell. We cannot transact with currencies. And that time is upon us. Listen.
The 15-minute cities is something that the WEF has created called C40, and it's called C40 Cities. I would urge you to certainly look on the internet about it and then go to all of the TikTokers and see what they're really, really saying. Basically, you won't be able to drive a petrol or diesel car anymore. You'll have to buy electric. If you want food, you will get a calorie-controlled system sent to you by text saying, this is what you can eat today. This is what you can have today. If you violate any of these things, they'll freeze your bank account. That is the next step.
These are your bank account. Let me one of the things to Catherine Fitch.
Here's what
all right.
And the reality, as the financial system gets more controlling and more invasive, it's a little bit like bringing up a corral around us. And CBDCs, central bank digital currencies, and vaccine passports or digital IDs are sort of the last shutting of the gate.
We're being surrounded. And that's why Kevin Fuller is here today to augment the point. It's time to move out and to be able to sustain ourselves and stop using excuses. And one of the first things that they will do is simply to control the food. Control the food. If you control the food supply, you can control
the 15-minute cities is
one of the things, you know, that you see when you fight, you know, at this level trying to protect freedom is they can't get financial control unless they can control the food supply.
That's it. Because friends, this is
here's
an
what you
interview
need
by Catherine Fitz a few days ago. It's fresh off the press. Here it is right here. Clip one.
That question.
So it's very interesting. If you see some of the people around the president, they're the ones who really do want to drain the swamp.
Because some people are thinking the incoming administration, the incoming president, oh, everything is going to be fine and dandy, peace and safety. Hear what Catherine Fitz says.
That question.
So it's very interesting. If you see some of the people around the president, they're the ones who really do want to drain the swamp. But if you see many people around the president, they're the ones who are building the swamp. So if you look, if you drill down to some of his policies, for example, promoting digital IDs and using election fraud and immigration as a reason for a digital ID, or you see his promotion of private crypto in a major way involved in the federal finances, if you see his attacks on civil service and want to swap in private contractors for the civil service, I would say that's building and expanding the power of the deep state.
A nail in a sure place. Once I covered the information this past Sabbath evening, I went to my office. I received a text from a dear friend. He was the one that sent me this interview with Catherine Fitz a few days ago. And he actually put these words at the end of his text he sent to me. He wrote these words: I only wish she had the whole truth found in the Bible. His words. I'm not going to elaborate much. Roll the clips. Clip two.
Very important. Yeah. And that's good news if Trump wants to get us out of the WHO, get us out of the Paris Agreement. But if Trump is here to sell on behalf of the central bankers sell us on a all digital financial and monetary system and on a digital ID and all these other sort of mechanics that they need to finally snap the control grid into place, then, you know, then we're in real trouble. And that's why I say the campaign begins today.
I like her word choices. That this incoming president, his policies so far are what she's seeing as the final move to snap in place the digital concentration cam. Have you ever snapped something in place and the whole thing is ready to go? So on one hand, he may be against the Paris Climate Accord. But on the other hand, the policies he is pushing and about to implement lead to the same end. All roads lead to Rome. All policies, all roads lead to popery. All roads lead to the mark of the beast crisis. And the platform is being established. Clip three.
I agree with Whitney Webb more. She's been giving great coverage.
So she mentioned Whitney Webb, another individual on the platforms who is also sounding the alarm. Tyranny is on foot.
I agree with Whitney Webb more. She's been giving great coverage on all of this. And if you look at what Trump has said on the digital ID, I think it's very and deeply concerning. And Whitney understands that and has covered that extensively. And so we need to be watching what Trump is saying. If you look at the different pieces of what I call the digital concentration camp that's snapping into place, you know, Trump has been on the wrong side of many of these specific points. We do not want an all financial monetary system. We do not want a digital ID. And the last thing we want is somebody, you know, auditing or running the Federal Reserve who is on record as wanting to put a mesh network in the back of your head and hook you up to satellites. So.
Did you catch that? Did you catch her last words right there? Not much commentary. Roll the clips.
I think it's very hard for people who've grown up and enjoyed Western liberty and human liberty to imagine literally that we're going into a system where literally our homes, our cars, our communities become digital concentration camps.
Not much commentary. Roll the next clip. Listen.
And at the beginning of this year, when we did our annual wrap-up on the Salieri Report, I called it Operation Pushback. And something very miraculous is happening and very marvelous. And that is literally people all across America and all across the world are saying, you know something? You know, what we value is freedom. And this is not okay. We will not go along with central control. And you see the pushback developing as more and more people realize that with digital technology, the people running the central banks and the people governing the, you know, different countries of the world literally do want to assert central control. So when Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum says it's 2030 and you have no assets, they're beginning to understand not only is he serious, but if you look at the different mechanisms like the WHO that they put together to basically relieve your assets and your rights, you know, people are beginning to see the mechanical nuts and bolts of how they intend to operationalize the vision of relieving us of our freedoms and our property rights and our assets.
She calls it Operation Pushback. People are waking up. Isn't it surprising? Many of those people are in the world in Babylon, while the majority of our people are crying peace and safety. Pushback, it's a protest. Get ready. She's speaking about the centralizing of every commodity in the world. Just as Inspiration said in volume 9, page 11. There it is, my friends. The agencies of evil are combining their forces and consolidating. That is centralizing. That's it, my friends. Great changes are soon to take place in our world. And the final movements will be rapid ones. We're living in the last days. Those words, hear them once more. Listen.
So this sounds like massive changes coming for America.
Sounds like what? Massive changes coming to America. The previous clip she just said, we are seeing a centralizing of wealth, power, and control. And what did the host say? We're seeing massive changes coming. Wake up. The cock is crowing. Yet God's people are sleeping.
So this sounds like massive changes coming for America.
It's not coming. It's here. We're in it.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Right. Thank you very much. Live from Tennessee, Catherine Austin Fitz. Very nice talking to you. Thanks for all your...
I wouldn't be surprised she's in the country already in Tennessee. Buchanan, live from Tennessee. It's already here. Already, just as Volume 9, page 11 says, it is already here. 689-777-5198. 689-777-5198. Any questions here for our guest, Kevin Fuller, based on what he laid out? And that's why today he stopped by to share with us how important it is for all of us to be prepared right now in the last days. What if we only had 3.5 years? How would we live today? What preparatory steps would we take today to implement those 5 keys of survival? Now, Kevin, while people are prepping to call in if they have any questions, what's your feedback based on what was just shared, or do you have any additional points?
We have a lot. I have a lot of additional points. Technically, we are already being governed by what we eat, what we're allowed to eat. I mean, if you look at other countries and the ingredients that's in the food they have, I mean, it's so minimal. What you look at the ingredients that's in our food, it's tremendous, and it's causing sickness. We're already being controlled. If we don't wake up and realize that the country is where we need to be, not only can we grow our own food, we're unlimited as to our potentials of what we can do, even to help others. And when the cities are attacked, you'll be safer. You'll have some sort of warning. You'll be nobody attacks a country farm, basically, you know, unless you're watching a Rambo movie. But we're safe in God's hands. But the city's already under siege.
Okay, so a question in the chat, Kevin, from Carmel. She writes, Pastor, what about leasing farming land from the government? Is that like being government dependent? Now, Kevin, before you answer that, I have a call in. Now, caller, you're live. What question do you have for us or for Kevin?
All right, good afternoon. This is Marsha. I have a question for Kevin. So there's a group of us, Seventh-day Adventists, that bought 100 acres out in the country. I guess we have reached a brick wall because I guess the county that the property sits in, they're now requiring us to provide an ingress and an egress on the property. Six of us that purchased it. How do we... We're not trying to cut corners or do anything illegal, okay? We're trying to do things the right way. How do we go about accomplishing this? Since it's a huge property, and so the requirements are for a concrete road to be made, despite us sitting with the... engineer for the company, the county, let them know it's really for farming, you know, to provide food for ourselves as well as serve the community. What are your suggestions in moving forward?
If I'm understanding her clearly, she's saying that they have a large parcel, a large piece of land, and they're being required to put in a concrete driveway. Is that what I'm hearing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
That is required, and it's required for several reasons, even for your fire address or your fire number, as they call it, so that the fire department can get in, the waters can be placed there if they're doing fire hydrants, all that kind of stuff. But financially, one of the ways to do that, if you're having a hard time financially, you got enough farmland, start growing, be able to get the growing and selling, having produce. If they require it in a timely manner, you may have to seek a loan against the property, or have your people come together financially and see if mm-hmm. they can alleviate that for you, and getting that concrete put in, and then take bids from different contractors and see who's the best place to get a bid from.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, there was a question before that. Can she repeat that question again, Pastor, the other young lady?
She dropped the line. Caller, you're live.
Hi, this is Candace Yeldell. Hi, Pastor, and I thank you for all that you and your family do. I'm in a dilemma. What I want to know is, okay, I live in Michigan, okay, right borderline of Detroit. But what I want to know is, what do you do? Because I want to move out of Michigan. It's flat. It's all mountain. I mean, there's no mountains. And at the end of the day, my family lives in California, but I really don't want to go there. But my son and daughter, they're grown. They're here. But they don't believe anything I'm telling them. But I know what the Lord has opened my eyes to see and do. And so I want to know what to do. Where should I move? Because I don't know if anybody's seen on all through YouTube, but there is 300 trucks surrounding the borders of Michigan, and it's like they're preparing for something. My house is on the market, so at the end of the day, I don't know where to move. I wanted to know if there's any pointers, any tips.
Welcome to Wisconsin. I was on the phone with two people from Michigan on Friday. And they're also considering the same thing. They thought about Wisconsin because they were close to different areas. You know, they just didn't have the space there, being close to the city. But there's tons of areas, and you just make up your mind where you decide you want to move. But you said one thing also that was key. You have two grown children, but that they don't have the beliefs you have. It is short, and I'm really not trying to be funny, but they're grown. You have to make that decision. You have to make that move. You have to really get about your father's business for safety. I guarantee you they'll follow you. They will follow.
Me and my friends want to move to Safe to Serve. Georgia, you know, wherever Tennessee, Safe to Kentucky. Serve is, where Pastor Henriquez is, that's where we want to go.
Okay, so you have two options, Wisconsin or Georgia.
Okay. But, definitely.
And the pointer is, you want to be around people of the household of faith who believe in the present truth.
Absolutely.
That's why I want to come there where you are. You know what I'm saying? Because I know you guys know about the land there and the cities there.
So know your goals, set your goals, set an idea. You can actually use realtor.com and actually see pictures and Google Earth and see areas. There's tons and tons of different areas. Georgia's not just the only state. And I'm not advocating against Georgia. It's a great place.
I know.
Beautiful
thank
place.
You so much, though, guys. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Someone says Arkansas. Yes, Kevin. So the question was about, can we lease farmland from the government? What are your thoughts on that?
Yes and no. If they're limiting what you can grow, and some government agencies do, if they limit what you can grow, no. But if there's no limit on what you can grow, take advantage of that opportunity to grow as many vegetables as you can and create your own market. And that'll build you up a significant amount of cash. And one of the examples that I always use is cherry tomatoes. Cherry tomatoes are $200,000 per acre. So if you're leasing land from the government, chances are it's more than 30 acres. It's probably a couple hundred acres. You're really unlimited what you can do, but be careful that you don't sell your soul. One. The other thing is if you're not selling your soul, everything is good on the up and up. Take advantage of that right now and start growing and producing. That way you got enough cash that you can back out of that deal. But leasing is a great option for people who don't have a lot of money to put down on buying land.
A caller, you're live. What's your question?
Hello, I'm Grace Rowman. I live in Puerto Rico. Can Mr. Kevin help me with this?
Yes, go ahead. He can hear you.
Oh, yes. Well, I live in Puerto Rico, and I want to live in the country, but I don't have the resources to get there. So what can I do?
You can reach out to us. You can give us a call if you would. And I'll take a look at your area. I can take a look at some of the things in Puerto Rico, some of the different areas. I don't know if they go by province or whatever, but there is country land available there. So I'll be taking a look at some of the real estate offices and companies and calling and contacting people to see what's available for you. And then do a, you in the meantime, do a breakdown of probably your wealth, your resources, things you want to do and where you want to go, and get those key points and names of towns or cities or province or whatever, and have that ready. Get that to me and I'll see what I can do to help you out there. And that's free.
I didn't hear it very well, the what he just said. Can I call him to his office?
She can. You can register with our website, Pastor, if that's okay. I'd like to give that number out if that's good with you.
Yes,
you
can.
I'm going to give you my personal cell phone, and any of you are welcome to use that as well. It's 608 area code, 608-295-6820, 608-295-6820. However, do text me first. Text me your name, your information, and your location so that I can see that text and know how to respond when I reach back out to you. Thank you.
Okay, Carla, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
And that's what we're here for, to assist. The fifth key of the five keys, to assist others. Okay. Let's take this last call, Kevin. Caller, you are live. Thanks for calling in to Midday Power Surge. What's your question? Our caller, could you kindly lower the volume on the live feed? Caller? Okay. Caller, you're live. Caller?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Thanks for calling in. You're live.
Okay.
Can you mute the live feed, please?
Can you mute the live?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. I'm listening to all that's being said. Here's the situation. I'm in the country. I'm single. I need a roommate. I need help. You know, we're talking about one of the keys of country living is conversion. We're going to have to set aside our personal preferences and ask the Lord to convert us so we can work together and get the work done and be ready so we have a place. 3+ acres. It is the country. Now what? Where do you find like-minded people? Because where I am, the nearest populated place is 30 to 60 miles away. And so it would be great. Then we could evangelize this area. There's one church that's 30 to 60 miles away. I'm doing church with you, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Thank God you're here and you're providing this for us. How do you reach out and find people of like mind that may be interested in that and move forward? That's the question.
Okay. Can I answer that, Pastor, if it's okay?
Yes, go ahead.
We are working. We're working on a PDF. And I want to give all the support. My wife, she does such great work on a lot of the stuff with the research that we do. But we're working on a PDF now that's going to deal with people just like yourself. I was asked by, matter of fact, we're talking about Michigan. I was asked by the two ladies in Michigan the other day, how do we find like-minded people? How can we build communities? We're seeking to do that ourselves, even in Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, because it's such a vast amount of land that's available. It has great prices. It has minimum laws on things that you can do. As I talk to you, what we want to find out from you is where you are exactly, how big a spot you have. Are you willing to lease that to other sisters? We get a lot of elderly women who saying, I'm by myself and I need to get with another like-minded person to do that. So you can actually start, you have 3 acres. That's certainly enough to farm on and to build a couple of sheds and or campers or whatever on that. So we want to put together like-minded people just like you. So we're actually working on something like that now. So if you reach out to us on the website, thereareopeople.org, we can communicate and set something up and even work with you to get that, make that part of your business.
All right. Thanks for calling in, caller. All right, Kevin, your closing words, Kevin.
Well, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to let people know that, you know, God has really provided a way for us, but we can sit there and look and look and look like the person they sent a boat, a helicopter, or whatever for all the time, and they say, you didn't rescue me. I sent all this and you didn't take it. Resources are available. Use YouTube. If you're not familiar with how to use YouTube, or if you find yourself stumbling or stuck, reach out to us. We do consult. We do help you out. We'll walk you through that. There is, you know, through the grace of God, we won't turn away anybody. There's nothing we can fall short on. But we specialize in showing you things that you can do with nil, $0 or next to none. And if you want to get more extravagant, you can. So reach out to us. We can help you. And Pastor, again, I just thank you. Even in our book, real quick, we just made some provisions there because we are targeting everybody. It wasn't just SDA, but we don't recommend, like, I'm saying this because people say, well, where do you had something in your book about, maybe have something about milk or eggs and things like that. The book was targeted for everybody, but we don't condone flesh eating, food, that kind of thing is healthy. And with medicines and everything, we even tell people prepare when you go into the country. Some of you on pharmacy medication, seek alternatives to that. Seek natural and homeopathic remedies to your alternative medicines, because when you're in the country, and these are people that read the book, Pastor, when you're in the country, you won't be able to get to a pharmacy, a Walgreens or RX pharmacy. So seek natural alternatives to your medications and things that you're taking, because we can't condone that. And not only can we not condone it, it won't be available for you. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful today for your blessings upon us. Keep us faithful. Encourage us. May we remove all excuses and press forward. May we not be found crying peace and safety when we're living in a certain emergency. As you promised in Philippians 1:6, we believe it, being confident of this very thing, he who hath begun the good work will perform it. We thank you for hearing us. Thank you for answering. Be with everyone who joined us today, live, and those hereafter, those in the chat, those who called in. Lord, we want to be found prepared and assisting others. We cannot do it in our own strength, so we rely on you working in core partnership with you. We thank you for the courage. The encouragement is our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, by God's grace, I will see you on tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern for Midday Power Surge. Subscribe, hit the bell, and of course, like, comment, and share. God bless. Maranatha, the Lord is coming. May we found prepared.